Is the solution to all problems balanced energy? That's the idea I want to consider today. Is balanced energy the solution to all problems? I'm going to use anecdotal evidence in this evaluation. It was raining hard as I was writing the other day, and it was cold for a July day. I got wet, exiting the car, and now I was sitting in a waiting room with air conditioning going full blast, and the wet me was mighty cold. If I had energy in the form of heat, my problem with the cold would have been resolved. 10 minutes before my waiting room experience, I was eating a sandwich in my car. I was hungry. The first two places I tried to buy lunch were out of business, the yogurt smoothie shop, and the other one was closed on Monday, Korean barbecue place. Avoiding the rain, I walked under the covering until I found a sandwich place that was open. Eating a $6 sandwich balanced my energy, and I was no longer hungry. The reason I was sitting in the waiting room was because I had to go through some pre-op procedures for surgery on my eye on Wednesday, and I filled out forms with 4 different people in 2 different locations, 4 miles apart. They all had empty spaces on the paper forms and their computer screens, and they needed data as the preferred energy forms to complete the paperwork. With the eye examination, blood pressure test, blood samples, they were trying to establish my energetic condition to rule out any dangers with my surgery under general anesthesia. They and I wanted certainty in situations like that. Adding energy to get to that state of balanced energy, or certainty, was the way to do it. Being cold, being hungry, being uncertain, all reflect a condition of energy imbalance. As I was writing this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon one day, I felt sleepy. Compared to full wakefulness, what is the condition of sleepiness? It's a demonstration of less energy than I had earlier that day, and that I for sure would have later in the day. There's a principle in physics that says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Doesn't that sound a lot like the universe is seeking balance? There's a spiritual law, the law of cause and effect, which we basically know as we reap what we sow. Doesn't that sound like the universe is seeking balance? We're all familiar with the tendency of boys who, when they're hit by other boys, hit back. We also know the law of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that still influences people and societies, even today. Maybe the principle of growth is really the natural reaction of balancing an input of energy with the output expressed as growth. Maybe the principle that the divine provides for our nutrition and nourishment means that it is anticipating our energy requirements for our growth, our healing, our protection, etc. The energy that feeds, nourishes, and nurtures us, balances us against the demands of these and other processes, seem inevitable and natural. A person the other day told me they were overweight and asked me what I thought the solution was. Another person said her relationship with her husband had turned into a problem. She wondered what the solution was. A third person spoke about his financial problems of too much debt and not enough income. Doesn't it seem obvious that each conversation indicated an imbalance of energy? Being overweight is when too much stored energy is in or on the body and not enough energy is moved out of or off the body. I can guarantee you that a relationship problem is due to a lack of energy being communicated between people. People can say, oh, we don't talk because we just argue. It's better not to talk. No, it is not better. Communication is the universal solvent that, if continued as long as necessary, will ultimately result in balanced energy because understanding between people will improve. One month ago, I had a car problem. And it was with the windshield wiper fluid in my car. I would fill the container, and the next day, it would be empty. I repeated that process a couple of times before I took it to a local service station. A dealership for my car, which I would normally go to, was 40 miles away, so that wasn't convenient. But diagnosis at this little shop was quick and easy. Leaking pump and gasket. The fix, replace the pump and gasket. Time required, next day it would be completed. I could say that I added windshield washer fluid to correct an imbalance. Lack of fluid. But because of the leaks, my solution, no pun intended, didn't solve the problem. The imbalance of energy continued. Stopping the cause of the imbalancing was the solution. In a conversation I recently had about minor surgery, the question was asked, if you need a transfusion, do you consent to it? No. That question sounded a lot like, if you have a leak, can we just add more fluid? No. Fix the damn leak, is a thought that raced through my impolite mind. Because energy has to move and flow, problems always seem to be about the lack of proper movement of energy. Energy is everything, so it makes sense to me to know how problems are created, since life and problems are inevitable. Problems occur, but the length of their existence can be managed if we understand what is actually happening. What can happen to energy? It can be blocked. It can leak out. It can flow to less desirable places. It can be stolen. It can be inhibited. It can be enforced. It can be distorted. It can be lost to unawareness. It can be stifled by us or others. It can be devalued by us or others. It can be disregarded or denied by us or others. Can you find a problem in your life that doesn't have the condition of imbalanced energy at its cores? I can't think of one. Here's an example of a problem. Most of us want to accomplish more. I sure do. However, when you or I look at what we do with our energy, we will notice that we spend a lot more of it than we actually invest. Maybe the 80-20 rule applies. We spend 80% of our time doing 20% of the things that would make us more effective and productive. Instead of doing the 20% of things that would produce 80% of the results that we want, we do the 80% of things that only produce 20% of what we want. Any investor or farmer who did that would be out of business quickly, wasting a lot of time doing things that are so trivial that they're not going to produce much results. Since everything is energy, and there certainly is plenty of everything, problems must be connected to the misuse of energy. It must be this misuse that leads to the imbalanced energy and the resulting problems. A new book, Homo Deus, mentioned that nowadays more people die from having too much to eat than from having too little to eat. Isn't that evidence of misuse of energy? More people die from suicide than by death by others and violence and even in war. Isn't that evidence of imbalanced energy? If each of us looked at the state of affairs in each of our 12 worlds, the spiritual world, the mental world, the emotional world, the physical world, the family world, the career world, financial world, social world, leisure world, community, and political and maintenance worlds, we would quickly see areas of imbalanced energy because the problems that we have in those areas would be right in front of us. And it would be kind of difficult for us to overlook them. After that assessment, I think it would be easy to notice how much energy in the forms of attention, intention, will, and purpose you currently devote to each world, and how much those energy flows would need to change in order to achieve the state of balanced energy, a level of satisfaction or a sense of effectiveness and accomplishment. In a conversation with my wife, Catherine, the idea came up of how we and other people can travel from place to place frequently and enjoy it without being bothered by the constant change. This talk led us to start talking about structure and the fact that we create structures in our lives when we travel and when we don't travel that keeps us grounded and keeps our energies balanced. The structures that are important to us, and I would suggest that you'd want to do the same thing in your own life, but the structures that are important to us are related to matter, energy, space, and time. And the rituals that we have, energy, are maintained in our schedule. We invest time in exercise in the morning, which along with decent American kind of breakfasts are foundational to our day. We try to keep those things in place no matter where we happen to be. Arranging space, not just time, aids us in staying balanced, and that's important to us. We know what matter, what solid stuff, what things to bring with us as we travel, and where to put it when we arrive in hotel rooms or a boat or a condo or even in our car. It all reassures us and keeps us grounded. Because we have it, we're certain that we have what we need. So our anxiety or concern are reduced and even eliminated. Is balanced energy a good thing? Yes, it is. Is imbalanced energy a good thing? Yes, it is. Whoa, I bet you thought I was going to say, no. I mean, imbalanced energy is bad. No, it's not. Let me explain why I answered the way I did. We need to grow. And, of course, energy must be moving. We have needs, we have desires, we have goals. And when we satisfy a need, we could say we balance the energy. When we satisfy a desire, we could say we balance the energy. And when we achieve a goal, we could say we have balanced the energy. However, growth is not a one-time event. Just because we satisfied a need doesn't mean the satisfaction is permanent. Have you noticed this tendency? That you eat to satisfy your need for energy, for food, and for comfort. But in just a few hours, you're going to have that need again. The formation of a desire is the creation of a discrepancy between what we're currently experiencing and what we would like to be experiencing. It's an act of self-imbalancing, and it's natural, it's normal, and it's a good thing. And we use this process to move ourselves forward in life. Think of the act of walking. There we are, standing, balanced with 2 feet on the ground, and then we lift one leg and move it forward before putting the foot on the ground again. While that foot is in the air, the least little bump would knock us down. Here's another example. A student enters a classroom eager to learn what she does not yet know. Her knowledge of that subject is lacking. She is imbalanced. Being open-minded, smart, and eager, she embraces the idea that she can process the energy of instruction and become balanced. And she'll have a chance to prove to herself that she is right by doing very well on the course examinations that will follow. If you're a single woman or a single man, chances are you can feel imbalance. There seems to be a natural need for a balanced relationship with people who have more or less female energy or more or less male energy. You can see it as femininity and masculinity. In the straight and gay relationships, it can be seen that one partner tends to be more feminine and one partner tends to be more masculine. It is the partnership of these two fundamental energies that create balanced energy in a relationship. As I said, balanced energy is not a permanent condition because energy must move. Even when we die, we leave the physical shell of our body, which is then reduced to its most basic form, either by decomposition or cremation. What is most important in this whole subject of whether the solution to all problems is balanced energy is how we seek to gain balance. Years ago, I tried to develop a list of 100 ways we use energy to get what we want. Today, I would say 100 ways to get into the state of energy balance. I only got up to 77 ways before I stopped and moved on to other projects. Some of those 77 ways were positive, but many were not. If we leave the process of balancing our energy up to our ego, we're going to be very destructive to our relationships and to ourselves. We need to open up to receive the awareness that divine consciousness is actively providing for our well-being in the areas of growth on every level, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, nutrition and nourishment, healing and repair, protection, work, survival, all delivered on waves of rhythm, governed by the spiritual law of cause and effect. It is our job to establish a highly inspired vision of what our lives could be, allowing divine consciousness to supply the energies that brings us into balance with that vision is the second part of our job, allowing. The other part of this process is the responsibility of divine consciousness to provide everything we need to fulfill this vision. Listen to the prayer, and you can hear the promise of that. This is the prayer from the book Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth. Letter 8. This is pluralized. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.